No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social. Get interactive like you have been. On Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. The email address, rainbowcountry@ciut.fm. The podcast is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. So if you subscribe to the show, you'll never miss an episode of Rainbow Country. But for me, if I can, the best way to enjoy something is live. When it's live on air, live on TV, that sort of thing. Because you never know what kind of shit's going to happen. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So, for me, I think it's important for us to know whose shoulders we're standing upon. If you're a gay individual like myself, a lesbian, a transgendered individual, a bisexual individual, it's important for us to know. It's important for us to remember those activists that have paved the road that we are on. One of those local activists here in Toronto recently passed away. Glenn Brown, a leading Ontario AIDS activist, recently passed away. He was also a beloved former executive director of Pride Toronto. Glenn Brown passed away early Friday morning. Glenn Brown was 58. So, this is episode 33. I'm getting up there, honey. On this episode, I'm spotlighting two individuals from the trans community. So this is my second trans episode. I'm featuring writer and retired trans activist Christine Newman. I'm also spotlighting recording artist, American recording artist, Rye Daisies. I'll be chatting with both of them. We'll also hear three tracks from Rye Daisies. We'll hear Feeding the Beast, Too Good Too, and we'll also hear When You're Laying Down. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
She's a recording artist, an American recording artist hailing from Michigan, and she made the trip up to Toronto, Canada to be part of this interview live in person. Ra Daisies, welcome on board.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How was the trip up?
It was amazing. Yeah. It was, nice to get away for a little while from all the craziness going on and the high energy. To cross the border and smell the maple syrup a little bit, it was nice.
Also joining me, she's a writer. She's an activist that's been a trans activist for about 34 years, Christine Newman.
That's
welcome
correct.
Back.
Thank you, Mark.
So, Rye, I'm going to start with yourself. Why don't you, you're a recording artist. When did you realize that you had a voice, you had a talent for writing songs? When did you realize that you wanted to be in the music industry, you wanted to be a recording artist? When did that happen for you?
I am lucky enough to come from a family of musicians. So my dad plays guitar and writes his own tunes, and my mom's got a really beautiful voice also. So honestly, that was encouraged in our household, you know, be creative, be musical. And for me, I always played instruments, and I started playing drums when I was 8. And I also wrote poetry. And it wasn't until I was about 12 when I started transitioning that I took my poetry and my music and kind of put them together and started writing songs.
Right. And how has that process been for you, writing songs? Has it been, do you find it cathartic? Do you find it a release in terms of dealing with emotions, that sort of thing?
I'd say it depends on the song. Okay. Some songs are, you know, they make me feel better and I write it and I just let everything out. And some songs I will write and perform and record, and it never gets any easier to do. Some songs are a little more personal, and I feel like for me as an artist, sometimes it's more exciting to tell other people's stories and, you know, to avoid the personal side of things.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit both. It's a bit cathartic and it's a bit nerve-wracking at the same time.
How would you describe your sound?
Well, my husband calls it vag on guard, so.
Okay, explain that.
I guess I'm like indie alternative. I like to keep it different, so some songs are electronically driven, some songs I play the auto harp and a lot of woodwind instruments, so I like to pull from a lot of different things to, you know, get that final product.
Now, Christine, you're also a writer, a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about your writing. How long have you been writing?
Probably about 35, 40 years.
Okay. And what do you write about? What do you blog about?
Sometimes it's something that I'll see in the news that grabs my interest, and I will just sit down and do one of those stream of consciousness and write 10,000 words.
Okay.
Other times it's an assignment from an editor, and they say, you know, can you talk about this? And give me 1,500 words.
Because your blog is The Journey to Me, but you also write for other publications like what?
Living Toronto Journal.
Okay.
Gender Fabulous Magazine in New Jersey. Queer Voices out of New York. And I'm starting soon with Huffington Post.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How did you score that gig?
They read my stuff on Queer Voices.
Okay. So is it going to be queer-related, gay-related, trans-related?
Whatever grabs my attention, trends towards the trans side, but, you know, I mean, I come from an era when we fought for the entire rainbow, so everything across the rainbow grabs my attention.
And is it going to be Canadian-based, or is it going to be around the world,
I've covered global issues.
Okay.
I mean, the one that was the biggest one last year was when I interviewed Carla Lewis, the trans veteran from Tennessee.
Okay.
She went viral online on social media when she wore a t-shirt one Friday for Casual Friday that said on it, "Transgender veteran, I fought for your right to hate me."
Wow.
And her biggest complaint was that mainstream media was writing about her, but not talking to her. And so I said to her, "Listen, I'm working on my November 11th column. I'll ask you 4 questions. You've got 1,500 words, run with it." And so I asked her those 4 questions and just let her talk. And that produced a column which went viral.
I asked this of Rye. Do you find it helpful, cathartic? Do you find if you're dealing with things, it comes out in your writing?
Definitely.
Okay.
Sometimes when I need a little inspiration, I'll go sit in a coffee shop in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And listen to all the neocons rattling on.
Right.
And usually the abject horror I feel when I listen to them inspires something in a column. I've actually sat in there and wrote two or three columns in once.
Right.
And of course, I also come from a musical background, too.
How so? Tell me. I don't know that.
Girl,
you've been holding out. WTF.
Yeah. I started music lessons when I was 4 and a half.
Okay. Music lessons taking what?
Okay. I started on the piano accordion.
The piano accordion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Graduated from that to piano.
Okay.
From that to 6 and 12 string guitar.
Nice.
Violin, viola, cello, bass, and flute.
So,
and I can also play the bagpipes.
So what you're saying is you're going to come play on my next record.
If you record it in Toronto.
International.
Hey.
So can you still play those instruments at all?
Most.
Really? Nice. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but playing an instrument is like riding a bike. You might need to practice a little bit, but I don't think you lose that ever.
No.
It's there once it's there.
Yeah, once you pick it up, you pretty much got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rye, let's keep on the theme of writing. Talk to me about your writing process. Do you tend to get the lyrics first, the melody first? How, when you're writing your songs, how does that come to you?
You know, really, it varies from song to song. I feel, I call my songs my girls. And they each have their own energy to them. And I let them do what they want to do.
Okay.
Sometimes the words come to me first. Most of the time, the music comes first. But just recently, I started working with writing beats, trying to keep up with the youngins, you know. So that has been really interesting in my writing process, because you can almost put together this whole song and then come to it with the lyrics.
Okay.
Whereas with the auto harp, you know, you're strumming away and you write your lyrics. And then when you get into the recording studio, you add your flute and your percussion, your everything else. But when you're working with beats, it's all right there in front of you. So I have been toying with that a little bit, MIDI and that kind of stuff.
Right. But when you say beats, is that including the music as well? Or are you talking strictly the percussion, the drums?
I'm speaking for the whole,
The
whole kit and caboodle.
Okay. And then looping that.
And looping and playing with and experimenting with. And it's been really fun, actually. I kind of always used to scoff at people like, oh, you write beats and that must be hard. You know, with a classical background, and then I started to explore it, and it became like this whole new instrument that was suddenly available to me that just blew my mind. And now on my new album that I'm working on now, I've been experimenting a lot more with the electronic side of music.
Right. I'm curious, do you have a working title for your upcoming record?
I do. It's called Monstrous.
Monstrous.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I want a copy.
Okay, girl. Mistress Monster.
So, you mentioned that title, and it reminds me of Lady Gaga. Is she an inspiration for you at all?
You know, honestly, I try to avoid popular culture when I'm working on a new album. I feel like it influences me in ways that I don't want it to. I was actually inspired by Scooby-Doo for this album. Yeah.
How so?
This idea of being afraid of these monsters the whole episode.
Okay,
Then in the end, we rip off the mask and we realize that it's just another human being.
Right.
So the song cycle of this album is exploring the darker sides of people, or the sides that other people may perceive to be darker, i.e. being trans.
So talk to me about one of your songs, Feeding the Beast. That's going to be on the upcoming record.
Yes, it is.
So talk to me about that track.
Honestly, it started as a joke. It was, I was messing around with the beat making software, and I said, I've never written a song in 5/4 time.
Okay.
I'm going to write a song in 5/4 time. And I came up with this crazy sound that's happening, and I was like, you know, that would sound really cool on a baritone. And it just kind of kept coming to me. And on this project, there's Feeding the Beast, Starving the Beast, and Purging the Beast. And these songs are all exploring eating disorders. Okay. So Feeding the Beast is my song for an overeater.
Okay. And is that something that you dealt with personally yourself?
I struggled with bulimia when I was a teenager. So,
my sister did too, anorexia and bulimia.
I felt like I wasn't necessarily an overeater. Mm-hmm. I was on the more side of like starve yourself. Yeah. And then when you do eat, you feel so guilty about it, you know? But I think having that experience and speaking to other people that have had eating disorders, it was a little bit easier for me to approach it. And I didn't want to be callous about it either. I wanted, you know, like I said, the song started as a joke. It's at the end of the song, there's like a McDonald's operator in the song. And I wanted it to be funny, but I also wanted it to be meaningful.
Coke with that?
I first knew that I was gay when I was young, really young, talking like 4 or 5, that sort of thing. And I knew that because my dad would come home from work, he would get undressed, and he would have a nap, mid-afternoon nap, I guess, in his underwear. And I would crawl up, I was like 4 or 5, crawl up in the bed and lie beside him, and I felt really comfortable. I felt really safe. And I knew that that's what I liked. So that's my personal story. I can go back that far and say, I knew back then. So for Rye Daisies, when did you realize that you were a trans individual? When did that happen for you?
I think that my family knew before I did, to be honest with you. 'Cause I was the same. I was very, very young. I always knew that I was different. I was a little more feminine, mm-hmm. and I always thought boys were cute. And I was lucky enough to have parents that didn't make that seem like it was an issue.
Okay.
It was from the outside world that I had any kind of harassment. But in my home, everything was hunky-dory, I guess, mm-hmm. you know? So I would agree with you. I was really young also.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably about 11, 12, that was when that started to set in. You know, I'd always worn my sister's clothes, right, and played dress up. And I remember my Aunt Terry had this full-length mirror and all these high-heeled shoes that me and my cousins would always, like, try on her shoes, mm-hmm, and walk around. And it was never unnatural.
So, Christine, I'm going to ask you to jump in here.
Mm-hmm.
How has the trans movement progressed, in your opinion?
It's become more visible.
Mm-hmm.
With visibility, and the more people see it and they talk about it, it starts to become, and it's a weird way to say it, but the first word that pops into mind is normalized.
Right.
It's not a freaky thing anymore. It's just who people are. I'm looking back to, like, when I was born in the 60s, mm-hmm, and moving forward, when I came out in 1980, to my mom at the time, we had Renee Richards.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
And who's Renee Richards?
Was a tennis player.
Okay.
Later on, there was Christine Jorgensen. But it was something that was, like, rare, never heard of.
Right.
At the time to begin transition, as my doctor says, it was really barbaric in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you went through electroconvulsive therapy, psychotropic drugs, conversion therapy, et cetera, et cetera. I know people who went through that and they're still damaged to this day.
Hmm.
Nowadays, I look around, and because we're more visible, because we're starting to get acceptance, right now we're tolerated. We haven't reached full acceptance yet. And more modern parents, more modern thinking parents, start to see it in their kids at a younger age. So when, you know, your son or daughter comes to you at 6 or 7 and says, I think I am opposite to what I was assigned at birth, a lot of parents don't freak out right away. Usually what they do is they phone PFLAG and say, what do I do? And when they phone PFLAG, they refer them to people like me. And I can walk them through, you know, here's where we should take them. You know, there's the gender clinic at Sick Kids Hospital. We don't take them to CAMH because that's a torture chamber. There are more resources nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's also more understood because now you don't slap you with mentally ill, right, as a diagnosis that you carry around for the rest of your life.
Right.
Now it's a disorder. I went from a mental problem to gender identity disorder, which is now gender dysphoria, and eventually it will be delisted from the diagnosis from the DSM-5. When DSM-6 comes out, they will probably delist it. So then it will be a medical condition, not a mental problem. So there has been a progression over the years, mm-hmm, and there's also information out there now. So young people now are saying, well, I don't know. Am I not?
And that's... In the back of my mind, that's the thing. How do you know? Because I was an effeminate person growing up, but I didn't feel like I was, you know, a woman trapped in a boy's body or anything like that. So where's the fine line? Where's that dividing line between being an effeminate boy growing up and liking boys and being basically gay,
uh-huh,
and really feeling that you're not who you are. You're the person that you truly are is trapped inside another person's body, for lack of better words.
I think it's not something you come to instantly.
Mm.
It's something you come to over time.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I have friends who started off saying, I am this,
mm-hmm,
and they lived with that for a few years and discovered this doesn't really fit anymore.
Okay.
Let's move the lens this way.
Right.
And look at this. Ah, this one fits.
Right.
And let's try this one on and run with it for a little while.
Right.
Now, there are those people out there who make me want to grind my teeth in my sleep, who say that you must make your decision and you must make it now and this is it and you have to live,
right,
with it. Balls. You try on what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take a while to find it. Some people know right away.
Right.
There is no really one pat answer, cookie cutter, that you look in the textbook and it goes A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's journey's different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some commonalities, but everybody gets to the answer in a different path.
So, Rye Daisies, with everything that Christy Newman said, would you like to share?
I couldn't agree more, honestly. And that's how I feel, too. I've been living full-time as a woman since I was 12, but I've never taken hormones. So that was just something that never interested me. I felt that I could be feminine and beautiful and myself without that.
Mm-hmm.
So there again comes down to, it's a personal journey. People are going to find themselves in different ways, mm-hmm. I think. And to try to box that, I think would be doing a disservice to the trans community in general, because we are so different. We are a group of people that, as different races, nationalities, religions, and those also will have a factor on how you find yourself. If you're a deeply religious person, that's going to affect the way that you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've known some people that have struggled, you know, with their own gender identity and sexuality because of their religion.
Right.
Now, personally, I'm not a very religious person in the means of Christianity. So that was never something that I had to struggle with, but I have seen that happen. So back to what Christine said, yeah, absolutely. Everybody hits their journey in different ways. Yes.
Yeah.
And see, the other thing they discovered over the years is that people tended to think that gender was a binary. You're male mm-hmm. or female. That's all there is.
Okay.
What they have discovered nowadays, gender is a spectrum.
Okay.
Males on one side, females on the other side. There's a whole latitude and a multitude and an infinite number of things in between. You don't have to be fixed here. You don't have to be fixed there. The same as people say, well, you know, you're not a woman unless you take HRT, hormone replacement therapy.
Which I've heard plenty of times.
Oh, God, yeah. You're not trans enough.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't that one make you want to spit and scream?
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, have you had the surgery? You're not a woman unless you've had the surgery. Excuse me, please, feel free to, that's the door, don't let it hit any ass on the way out. Everybody's journey is different. How everybody gets there is their own trip. And you have to find your own truth and live it. And it's not in a box, and it's not in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You find it eventually.
So, Rye Daisies, you have a song called Too Good To.
Yes.
Tell me about that song.
This is actually one of my favorite songs because I wrote it about my husband. I know, corny. This was one of those that just kind of flowed right out of me. I didn't even really have to think about it very much. I'm lucky enough to have found somebody that really cares for me and treats mm-hmm. me well. So the least I could do is write a song for him, right?
And how long have you been married?
We got married in January, and we've been together over 5 years now.
This too shall pass, he says, down on my eyes and say, just give and kiss, please don't look back to the things we were left behind. Cause we're too
So this is Rainbow Country, and part of Rainbow Country is a place I like to call Erotic City. So let's talk about the sensual world and attraction. Rye Daisies, what attracted you to your husband?
Well, you know, funny story. The first time we met, he was just getting out of work. And at the time, he was working on a factory floor. So we met at a Denny's. And in walks this guy in steel-toe boots, still kind of greasy. And normally, that's not really my type. But for some reason, that night, that was my type. You know, typically, honestly, I like somebody that can have a conversation with me.
Okay.
Looks only get you so far. Okay. You know, I want somebody that can stimulate every part of me.
Okay.
And that was what I found in my husband, Josh. He is one of the smartest people I know. He's got the biggest heart. And he has proven to me that he will do anything right for me, and vice versa.
Christine Newman, what attracts you to someone?
It's got to be the brains.
Really?
And the sense of humor. I'll tell you a quick story. When I met Anne, we actually met through Twitter.
Okay.
She had found me through one of my columns and followed me on Twitter. And I do a usual morning routine where I send out a bunch of morning tweets, usually with funny cat pictures. Lolcats are us. And I had sent one out this morning, and it was Leonardo DiCaprio in a movie, and the scene where his arms are widespread, and across the bottom it said, "Be fucking awesome." She replied to it, "I just got home from my shift. Fuck you and you're fucking awesome. I'm going to bed." And I went, "Oh, I got to check this out." And I went and looked at her profile, and it said, "Registered nurse, poet, tomboy, and in brackets, medical term, lesbian." And I went, "Oh, a sense of humor. I can have fun with her." And so I went back with something and just a little bit of snark to it, and I called her Sunshine. She loves being called Sunshine. That became her permanent handle. Mm-hmm. And thus began a conversation, which led to much fun and laughter. And the funny thing is, we literally, every night that we're in the same city, because she's out in Brockville, I'm here in Toronto, any night we're in the same city, we literally laugh ourselves to sleep in bed and wake up in the morning with a fit of the giggles.
I think that should be the goal, really, with finding a partner. Yeah. That should be the goal. Somebody that keep you laughing. And
have fun, for God's sake, because life's too damn short to be so significant about it.
So how long have you and Anne been together?
6 months.
Okay. Rye Daisies, Josh's, what would you say his best asset is?
Exactly, his ass. I mean, in all serious, though, he really does have a really nice booty. So,
see, I like a man with nice, big, strong legs and a nice, big bubble butt.
I'm with you there.
That's the beauty, girl. I can relate, girl.
I mean, yeah, and he's a nice person and all that also.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I said that about Anne. I said, you know, the bonus part was that she's cute as fuck, too. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I remember my very first kiss, because I was underage. I was in a gay bar. And the gay bar would be open from basically 10 till 6. And I would go there, dancing away till 6, and then I'd take the subway home. And then go to sleep. And this was open Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. And there was this guy that I eventually found out. His name was Terry. And we would flirt on the dance floor and all this sort of stuff. And we would never really talk. But then eventually we started talking, like, "Hey, how are you?" You know, that sort of thing. And then this one time, he came right up to me and he gave me a kiss right on the lips. And his kiss was sweet. it tasted sweet. And I was like, oh my God.
The choir and the angels singing. And
it wasn't so much that. It was just the fact that it tasted sweet. And I'm like thinking to myself, this was my very first kiss. Is this how it is? It tastes sweet. I'm like, this was amazing. Mind you, he was like chewing gum or had candy in his mouth, that sort of thing, right? I realized later.
He fell for the Devilment twins.
But that was my very first kiss. So, Rye Daisies, do you remember your very first kiss?
I do. I was really young, though. I think I might have been like 5 or 6. And it was the neighbor boy. His name was Jose. He was such a little turd, too. He was so mean.
So you had to kiss him.
I did. I had to lighten the mood up a little bit, I guess. I'm not really sure. I know I remember us getting busted for it, though.
Really? How?
And it was my mom who saw us. There was like, we had this like little shed, and by the shed, there was like this area between the shed and the fence. And mm-hmm. we went back there and we were kissing. And thank God that it was my mom that found us and not his mom. Because okay. my mom was like, oh, okay, maybe you should go home. Like, that's, you know, didn't just happen. But not meanly about it, you know, just because we were like 6 years old.
Right.
And I'm sure if that was been his family, that would have went very differently.
Christine Newman, do you remember your very first kiss?
I honestly don't.
Does anything stand out in terms of the very first time for you, in terms of the sensual world, the first time someone did something really romantic for you?
No.
Or you did something really romantic to someone?
I've usually been the one doing something romantic.
What was the most romantic thing you've ever done for someone?
Sent flowers to work, had dinner ready when they got home, and had planned out the evening, but it was just an evening for two. We weren't mm-hmm. going out. We weren't going out to be social. It was a stay home and just have fun together kind of thing.
I like that.
That's mm-hmm. the best kind, yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that someone is taking the lead, leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even throwing some of those rose petals potentially in there for anyone listening. Rye Daisies, tell me about one of your songs called When You're Laying Down.
Well, when you first asked me about this, I giggled a little bit, and you mm-hmm. asked me why, and I said, because this is my masturbation theme song. Okay. Basically, I had this man talking, you know, as sometimes you do with somebody you like, you know, texting, sexting, whatever you want to call it.
Was this sexting or was this phone?
Oh, this was texting. This okay. was sexting, yeah. And the thought of somebody pleasuring themselves while thinking about me mm. was not only a turn on for me, but it also stimulated my brain too. I'm like, we gotta write a song about this one, girl. Come on.
Yeah.
So this song is basically my call to people to go ahead and have fun with yourself. That's okay.
Well, isn't it true though that most of the sex that happens in your brain?
Mm. The most of the good sex that happens.
So Christine Newman, let's give it all the usual social media handles. Where can people find you online?
Easiest place to find me is on Twitter. Hey Writer Girl, GRRL.
Hey Writer Girl.
Mm-hmm, girl.
Rye Daisies, how can people find you online?
You guys can check out my website, RIEDAISIES.com. Or I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and I'm pretty much everywhere you can find me. I'm not too hard to track down.
Well, this has been my second trans episode, and I have to say, this was a lot of fun.
Of course.
This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having
and
me.
And thank you both. And Rye Daisy, special thanks for making the trip up.
I'm so glad I came. I'm glad I got to meet you, and it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
89.5 Toronto. Listen to us on the go with TuneIn Radio's free app or go to the live stream at www.ciut.fm. Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5 FM.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Welcome back. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and you're listening to Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. So, that was my spotlight on two members of the trans community. My second trans episode, we heard from writer and trans activist, retired trans activist, Christine Newman. We also heard from American recording artist, Rye Daisies. Don't forget, make sure you check out Rye's music off of her website, ryedaisies.com. Get social. Get interactive like you have been on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Follow me, honey, I'll follow you back, because that's just how I roll. The email address for Rainbow Country, if you want to get in touch with me, give me some suggestions for songs. If you're going to give me some song ideas, song suggestions, especially for the end of the month episodes that are going to be all music related, make sure that the tracks are LGBT, especially LGBT artists. It's a great thing. I think my show, Rainbow Country, here on CIUT, is one of the few radio shows that is playing LGBT artists from around the world. So if you have any suggestions, make it fit within that realm. And I will be glad to play your suggestions. So the email address is rainbowcountry@ciut.fm. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on Podomatic. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. So next week, it's a brand new month, brand new episodes. On February the 7th, DJs from back in the day, I'll be chatting with DJ Dallas and DJ Julie Lee, two great lesbians that were DJing back, Julie Lee started back in the 70s, and DJ Dallas was DJing at places like Chez Moi and The Rose, Pope Joan, that sort of thing. And I'm sure we'll hear some great stories from those two fabulous DJs. And I know DJ Dallas has an event coming up in February. On the 14th of February, the general manager from Steamworks, John Broadhagen, will be my guest. Steamworks, a gentleman's club, as we like to say. Or if you're from the gutter like me, it's a bathhouse, people. On February the 21st, Lynx, the lead singer from subversive rock group Random Order, will be my guest. And actually, Lynx will be live in the studio with me at midnight. And that's going to be on February the 21st. February is a hard word for me to say. Is it a hard word for you? February. There you go, Mark. Now you got it, girl. And on February the 28th, again, capping off the month, it'll be an all-music episode. I'll be featuring LGBT artists from around the world, which I have to say, I kind of feel honored to have this platform to be able to feature artists like Rye Daisies, to give a spotlight to her, to give a spotlight to writer, blogger, trans activist Christine Newman. It's a good thing. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we're living in days, they might seem kind of crazy at times, especially down south of the border, but we do live in days of making dreams come true. Hold on to that thought. breathe and believe in yourself. Because when you believe in yourself, the world will believe in you. Taking us out will be a great song that I love. Baltimora, Tarzan Boy.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country has been brought to you in part by Inspired Media, Inc. If it's LGBTQ, it's in their publications. The Pink Pages Directory, Pink Play Mags, The Buzz Magazine, and popular talk show On the Couch. 27 years and expanding. InspiredMediaInc.ca.